And it is a privilege and blessing to be here. And I want to especially say thank you to all of the prayers that you did in our behalf. We definitely went through it, but that's okay. The Lord knows. The Lord is still in charge. And I'll be honest with you, God began to speak to me about this word back in April, and I shared just real short in my at my church, and I think only about 15, 20 minutes, and then went into the problem that we had, all the time that we were going through it, I kept saying, "Lord, this is not my inheritance. This is not my inheritance. I've got a lot greater inheritance than what I'm experiencing right now." So thank you, and pray God bless you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I want to start with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you?" Now, how many of you know that? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. I'm beginning to wonder there, you know. All right. Your body, it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Who is in you, whom you have from God. You are not your own. Okay. Now, what does that mean? It means you don't belong to yourself. Okay. So, what are you going to do with that? You know, if you don't belong to yourself, who do you belong to? Okay? "For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So your body and your spirit belong to God. The problem that we have is still with our soul. Okay? That's where we have our problem, in our soulish nature. But our body and our spirit belongs to God. So I want to just look at this, because I want you to begin to consider and begin to think, well, if I belong to God, then what is it that God wants from me? Why did he buy me? Hello? Okay, now I realize a lot of times when we talk about this verse, a lot of times what people think of is, well, what that means is he bought us so that we are now saved from our sin. Amen. Thank God for that. But is that it? Is that really it? I mean, we're saved from our sin, so now we can live above sin. Hopefully we do. Like I said, we still have a problem with our soulish nature. But is that it? Is that really all that God wanted from us? Is that really all that God, he purchased us just so we could be saved from our sin? Well, in fact, let me look at, it does cut out once in a while, doesn't it? Or is that just me? Okay. Let's go to, where do I want to go? I don't want to go there yet. Hallelujah. All right, there is a scripture. I got to find it here. I just got a bunch of notes. Okay, just forget the notes. Wing it, brother. Wing it. We're in wings, right? Yeah. Wing it. Amen. Let me get you up. Yeah, that'll be better. Oh, now this come back on. Okay, that's okay. Now this may sound like I'm changing subjects, but I'm not. I'm still talking about this, inheritance. I think most of us have experienced the death of a loved one, perhaps a father, a mother, something like that, and have had maybe some kind of an inheritance, maybe not much, but, you know, I mean, certainly not millions of dollars. But, you know, like when my father died, I inherited a couple of his study books and a harmonica. You know, when my mother passed away, I inherited a little over $1,000, which helped us get out of debt, or at least part of debt anyway. And that was, you know, and it was gone. That was it. Okay? So we get a little bit of an inheritance. Well, what happens when we come to know Jesus? See, when we come to know Jesus, it's not just to save us from our sins, it's because he has an inheritance for us. Ephesians, that's where I want to go. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined, but I just stop right there. In him, in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance. Well, what's your inheritance? See, as I said, with my father, it was a harmonica and a couple of books. I still have a couple of the books, and I still have the harmonica. I don't know how to play it. But every once in a while, I'll just get it out and look at it and kind of blow through it a little bit, and because it reminds me of my father. Well, what is your inheritance? What have you inherited when you came to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Because you did inherit something. Now, for you to inherit something, that means somebody had to die, right? Next slide. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. By means of death, you have received the promise of eternal inheritance. Now again, people look at that and they say, well, that's I get to go to heaven. Okay, well, we'll look at that. And then thank God for that. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator, or the one who signed it, who willed it, okay? For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Next slide. This is the contemporary English version of verse 16 and 17. In fact, after making an agreement of this kind is like writing a will. This is because the one who makes the will must die before it is of any use. In other words, a will doesn't go into effect as long as the one who made it is still alive. Right? Next slide. English majority text of Matthew 27:50. But Jesus, again, crying out with a loud voice, released his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth was shaken. The rocks were split. And it goes on to say some of the saints came out and so on and so forth. I want you to just look at this for a moment. There had to be the death of the testator. There had to be the death of someone for the inheritance to be made available. Amen? So Jesus went to the cross and he cried out. He gave up his spirit so that you and I could not just receive salvation, but we can receive an eternal inheritance. Wow. Now that inheritance, again, it has to do with heaven, but Jesus taught the disciples, he said, to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. And we keep looking for the will of God in heaven, but he wants the will of God in heaven to be done on earth. Amen? So that we begin to live, and brothers, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we begin to live in the will of God, or can I say in the inheritance that God has provided for us here and now. Well, three or four of you caught that. Amen. We begin to live the inheritance of God on this earth. Amen. Why? Because he died for us. Amen. Now, I'm not going to. I learned something recently about that, but I'm going to go on. Amen. Next slide. The will is being read, Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and said to them, see, he's already given up the ghost. He's risen from the dead. And this is just before he ascends into the Father. And he says to the disciples, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I have all authority. Go therefore. You go. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So he has read the will, he's given the will, the will has been read, okay, Hebrews, it's been read, and the New Testament is now in effect, so that means the inheritance is now available for those who desire to walk in that inheritance, okay? Now I mentioned to you about my father's harmonica, I cannot play it, it sits in my drawer, okay, my desk drawer. The books are on my bookcase. And every once in a while, I might be doing some studying on something, and I might find that book and pull it out and look through it. But it's there. I'm not using it on a regular basis. I'm not using the harmonica. I haven't used it for probably 3 or 4 years. What does that have to do with anything? You have an inheritance, and I wonder if you're using it or if you put it in a drawer somewhere. What is your inheritance? Do we even know what our inheritance is? Amen. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. Now, what I'm about to go into, I want you to understand there are many people that begin to operate in what I'm about to talk to you about, and they do it in the flesh. And I'm not talking about doing it in the flesh. I'm talking about recognizing we have an inheritance. We have something from God. We have something that He has placed inside of us. And as we begin to move in those things, as we begin to use those things, they begin to become sharper and sharper. And the next thing you know, we are walking on the face of this earth as Jesus walked. How many of you think Jesus really struggled with healing people? Amen. Did he struggle raising the boy of Nain? Walked in, boy of Nain, he's dead, you know, they're taking him out to bury him, and Jesus walks over and touches the boy and raises him. Do you think Jesus struggled with that? No. Did Jesus struggle with healing the lepers? Do we struggle at times? What's the difference? The realm where he lived, the relationship that he had, and what I'm about to talk to you about, part of your inheritance has to do with the relationship that you have. The more you build the relationship, the more those things just begin to function and flow, okay? It begins to come out of you in an automatic manner. It just happens, okay? Now, and I had a thought, but it left me. So let's go to the next slide. You inherit God. How many of you know that you've inherited God? Wow. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in a minute, but the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, right? Well, isn't that God? You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. He lives inside of you. He dwells there. So you're not your own. You have just inherited God. Now I'm going to break this down a little bit, but look at this. Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession. You shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. Now, I've talked about this before, where God spoke through Moses to Israel and said, you are to be a kingdom of priests. And so I'm not going to go into that much except to say this. Who were they priests to? First, to God. Second, to families, to their own personal family. Third, to the world. And they failed the world, and they failed many of their families because they failed to be a minister unto God. I told Cynthia, that's your name, right? I told Cynthia this morning, we were really glad to come and to hear that she was here and the praise team was here with that saxophone and so on. Because we enjoy the praise and worship here, okay? And I told him, I said, in fact, I put in my last mailing, if you're on my mailing list, you may have gotten this, I don't know. And I don't know if you've read it or not. Because you can read a little bit of what I'm talking about here in about 15 minutes. It's going to take me longer than 15 minutes to... Anyway, it definitely was an overview. But I told her, I said, I believe it was Tommy Tenney, when he was at Bill Johnson's church in Redding, California, made this statement. He said, God comes to church for praise and worship. God doesn't come for my preaching. Now that might blow some of your minds. You know, what? He don't come to hear me preach? You can't teach him a thing. Anything you have that is of God came from God. So you can't teach him. I can't teach him anything. So he doesn't come to hear me preach. He comes for praise and worship. So if you want the presence of God, guess what? Praise and worship. Amen? You inherit God, and if you learn to really praise and worship God, then that spirit inside of you gets excited and begins to move and begins to do things. Somebody say amen. Amen. You do want God to move and to do things, right? I mean, otherwise, why did you pray for me and Linda? Why do you pray for these people that are sick? Because someone said, we've been praying for a lot of people for, why? If you don't believe God's going to move, why pray for it? Hello? Amen? All right, so we inherit God. Part of that, next slide, kingdom of God. Romans chapter 14, 17, and Jesus spoke and he said in Luke, and I my concordance on this Bible didn't give it to me, but he said, for the kingdom of God is within you. If you have God in you, the kingdom of God is in you. You have inherited the kingdom. Oh, glory to God. You have inherited the kingdom of God. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Richard. Amen. We've got to change our thinking. We've got to change our thinking. We are not physical beings having a spiritual experience. We have become, when we came to know Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, we have become spiritual beings having a natural experience. Amen. All right? So, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, which we'll do later, but anyway, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what the kingdom of God is. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, I don't know if that's my next slide or not, but it says that he of whom we are made, or he has made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. And we like the redemption part, but we forget some of that other part. Amen? All right, let's go on. Gifts from the Father. You see, we have inherited things. So Romans chapter 12, Paul tells us that we've inherited some gifts from the Father. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each, look at this, according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." He's given us grace, and he's given us faith to operate in that. Verse 6, "Having gifts," he's still talking about this, "having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us what? Let us use them." I don't use my harmonica because I don't know how. Amen? However, I have a young man in our church that I have talked to that said, "I can teach you a little bit on how to use that." So I'm looking for someone. Hopefully one of these days he and I can find some time together and he can show me a little bit about how to use that harmonica. Now, I loved it because my father would sit, and if he was tired at night and he just wanted to relax, he would sit back in his chair and he'd pull out his harmonica and sit there and play that harmonica. And it always seemed refresh him. And I just enjoyed hearing him play that harmonica, various songs, doing various things. It just brought a relaxing presence into the house, you know. And he says, "Use them. If prophecy," or if that word bothers you, "intuition," because these are what we would call motivational gifts. They're what we're born with. Motivational gifts. What God has given you, I mean, you do believe that God created you, right?
Yes.
Amen. If people believed that God created them, they wouldn't be changed. Never mind. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, or in other words, intuition, the ability to begin to change things, begin to recognize things that are coming ahead of time, okay? If service, there are some people that just have a desire to serve people. Amen? The one who teaches, others are just teachers. Our son-in-law drives us nuts at times. I ask him a question, and he has to go through and share with us every little detail all the way. I mean, 15 minutes we'll be listening to him, and finally he'll answer our question. But he has to tell us all of how the history of this thing. He's a computer guy, okay? And he goes from this all the way through, and it's just like, just answer my question. It's a yes or no question, you know? Teaching in his teaching, the one who exhorts. Some people just, they're just constantly exhorting one another and encouraging one another. And the one who contributes, who in generosity, he just, God blesses them to be able to give all the time. The one who leads, there are born leaders. Amen? The one who does acts of mercy, there are some people that just plain have empathy for others. They see a dog that's hurting on the side of the road and they got to stop and take care of that dog. Amen. And if there's a person they're always, then mercy. They're born with these things. Okay? You and I are born with these things. And there are probably a few other things that we could throw in there. But Paul lists these. And he said, and these are gifts from the Father when we're born. Amen? And we begin to move in them even before we come to know the Lord. Hello? Next slide. So the Spirit wants to give us some gifts too. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, "For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." And so the Holy Spirit gives us a gift, but these come when we come to know Jesus. And if you really look at these, you'll begin to find that sometimes they really relate a lot with the other ones in Romans chapter 12, okay? Because what happens is the Holy Spirit begins to increase and enlarge that which God has already put inside of you and begins to add to
to it. Hello? So that if you have, let's say you have that prophetic nature, okay? And you just begin to intuitively think of things and understand that this is going to happen and that's going to happen and oh man, you know, I just know that this is about to take place, and you have that intuitive nature, then God will begin to move upon you with a spirit of prophecy or a spirit of word of knowledge or word of wisdom, and all of a sudden you begin to give a word of knowledge and you speak to somebody and give them a word of knowledge and say, you know, God just shows me that you have this problem and God wants to heal the problem, and then he turns around and gives you a gift of healing so that you can do what God said he wanted to do. Hello? One of the problems that we as Christians have is we are tempted to just settle with one gift. You know, I don't want to get puffed up. And we don't. But one gift. And God says, that's great, but I want to multiply. I want you to understand that you have an inheritance, and it's more than just a harmonica. You have an inheritance of eternal values. Hello? And when you begin to move in that inheritance, things begin to happen. Amen? Now, it was prophesied a little while ago about Linda and Stan, about the singing and so on and so forth. And I rejoice in that. But folks, nobody prophesies that to me. And there's a reason for that. Because for that to take place, that would be a miracle. All right? I am not a singer in that respect. Now, I still worship the Lord. I still praise the Lord. But just to give you a little hint, when my kids were all little, a number of years ago, we'd be singing and worshiping the Lord at church, and my daughter would lean around my wife and say, Dad, get on key. And I'd lean back around the other way and say, I am. It's the only one I've got. Amen. Amen. But what about that? Which gift is yours? Which one from Romans 12 were you born with? And what are you doing with it? And are you adding to it? See, we get saved and we get filled with the Spirit and we have goosebumps, and there's too many people that are still looking for the goosebumps all the time, and they're still looking for all that kind of thing to happen, rather than to saying, you know what, God, you left me an inheritance. You left me something here, and I'm going to use the gift that you've given me, and I'm going to reach into heaven, and I'm going to begin to expect the things of God that you said I had to begin to move and operate out of me. Amen. Now again, let's remember, I'm not talking about works of the flesh. I'm talking about, that's why I said we reach into heaven. We begin to really manifest, or begin to really build that relationship with Him. And as we build that relationship with Him, it begins to just function and flow. Amen? So which gift is yours? And what are you doing with it? Go to the next slide. We also have gifts from Jesus. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. To do what? Remember me telling you about the worship leader back home that said he could probably teach me a little bit about how to play that harmonica? And he gave apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip, to build, to teach, to prepare the saints for what? For the work of ministry. For building up the body of Christ. until we all attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature, to what? What are we supposed to be coming into? The fullness of Christ. When we come into the fullness of Christ, brothers and sisters, there's no moving in the gifts or moving in the things of God by our sweat. It's by the Spirit. And we begin to move out in the things that Jesus, that's why I asked you a question. Do you think that Jesus really struggled to heal people? No. Well, we shouldn't be struggling either. We shouldn't be struggling with, should I pray for this person or not? Should I witness to this person or not? Should I? No, it should just automatically flow out of us. I also, this morning after I got here and I spent a little bit of time in prayer, the Lord reminded me of the scripture that says, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers. Oh, listen to me. Too many of us have just a little trickle now and then. He's not looking for a trickle. He wants a river flowing out of you and me. And it's unhindered. There's nothing damming it up. There's nothing stopping it. It's the flow of God that just begins to flow out of us because He has done a great work within us. Amen? Now, not everyone is going to come into that apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, or shepherds and teachers. Not everyone. But God has given that gift to some, Jesus has, to some, to help us to grow. Amen? That's why we have the pastors and the elders of the church. Hello? Amen? Well, I don't want anybody telling me how to live or what to do. Then you're missing a gift from Jesus. When you begin to look at them not as being a overseer, a boss, but rather they are there to help me to grow. All of a sudden you're now receiving a gift from Jesus. Next slide. Next one. 1 Corinthians 14:1, keep on pursuing love and keep on desiring spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14 comes after the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Okay? If you remember, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the difference between prophecy and tongues and so on and so forth. And then it goes into 1 Corinthians 13, and some people think, well, it's out of place, it shouldn't be. No, no, no. 1 Corinthians 12 is talking about tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. And then he says, now this is how that operates. It operates through love. So when you have the love of Christ inside of you, you can begin to move in these gifts, okay? So it's not, I'm doing something because, well, I guess I better go pray for this person or God's going to get mad. No, 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 no. The love of Christ constrains us. Okay? And then it starts out, keep on pursuing. That's why he says, keep on pursuing love. Keep pursuing the love of God. All right? Not a phileo love, not any kind of fleshly love, but the love of God. Keep pursuing that, and while you're doing that, keep desiring spiritual gifts. Wow. Keep desiring. So I guess one of my questions is, are you desiring spiritual gifts? Well, Brother Roy, I've already got a spiritual gift. You know, well, great. How about another one? Amen. How many of you like gifts? A few of you. I pray for the rest of you. Amen. There's something wrong if you don't, okay? Amen. I mean, didn't Jesus say, except we become as little children? How about little children at Christmas time or birthdays? Oh, I get this gift. Oh, where's the next one? Is that all? keep desiring. So that if we have a prophetic nature, if we have a word of knowledge, then look for something, that word of knowledge, that prophetic nature, to begin to usher you into something else. So that if I have a word of knowledge, as I said a little while ago, that someone is sick or someone is afflicted, then I begin to say, okay, God, you've given me the word of knowledge. Now, what do you want to do about this? And then, well, I want you to pray. Oh, okay, I can just pray and then walk away. No, you pray and have the gift of healing or gift of miracles to take place. Or maybe a word of wisdom. Maybe they need wisdom. They're in a difficult situation and they need wisdom. What do I do now? Where do I go? We just had new neighbors move in next door. And I went next door to just kind of greet them. And what had happened is... they'd only been in the house, I think, maybe 3 or 4 days, and we had a big storm, and the tree on the side of their house came part of it, most of it just came down and landed on their house. And so I went over to make sure that they had somebody that could cut down that tree and get it off their house and that everything was okay and all. And he invited me in. Now, he happens to be Hindu. That's the word I was looking for. He happens to be Hindu. So I went over and I introduced myself and I mentioned about the tree. He says, yeah. He says, I was outside when all of a sudden that thing, it was just a huge wind. And it hit and the tree fell in my house. And he said, so I heard the crack and everything and looked and watched the trees. It hit my house and damaged part of my roof. And I says, well, do you have somebody that can take down? Well, no, I don't. And I says, well, I think I may know some friends who can kind of come and help. I'm offering to him some of our work. Now, folks, let me just forget the time. This was when I was really pretty sick. I couldn't stand up and walk around for more than 5-10 minutes. And I had to find a place to sit down. And I couldn't hardly talk more than 3 sentences. And I'd be so short of breath, I couldn't speak anymore. Okay? And that's hard on a preacher, you know that? And I said it before you had a chance. But there I am, okay? But I went over there, and God gave me the grace and the ability to talk with him. And he says, no, he says, I think we can handle it. I said, okay. The next morning, he's at my door. He said, can you get your friends to come over? I said, yeah. He says, My guy won't do it. He owns a hotel in town. And he says, my guy can't do it. And so I said, okay. So I called up some people, including my son-in-law, and they all came over that evening, and we went out and we began cutting down that tree. Now, I didn't cut down the tree. I wasn't strong enough to use the saw. But you know what? God's grace was there because I wanted to be a witness to this man and his wife. And God gave me the ability to be out there and to direct. Boys, go get that. Boys, do this. Dan, how about we need to cut here first? What about the... And I stood on my feet and I talked for about 45 minutes. That was the longest I was able to stand, and I was able to say more sentences together without running short of breath than I had been able to for a month. God just gave me the ability to do it. When I was done, I was done. But when I had gone in, and this is what I wanted you to see, when I had gone into his home to talk to him about it, before I left, and I told him about the Lord, a little bit about the Lord, and he showed me all about his different gods that he had there in the little temple that he set up in one of the rooms in his house to the various gods and so on. But before I left, he said, will you pray for me? Sure. I prayed for him in the name of Jesus. And as soon as I was done, wait a minute. My wife. Let me bring my wife in here. Will you pray for her? Sure. So I prayed for her. And when I was done, I looked at him and I said, God shows me you're a man of wisdom, or I'm of knowledge, but she's a woman of wisdom. What do you mean, wisdom? gifts. And I said, you have knowledge. You have the ability to do things in the natural, to take care of business and so on, and do things naturally. But I said, she has the wisdom that begins to help you to know how to do and when to do and what, how, and so on. He goes, oh, yeah, yeah. He says, she's always telling me. Dude. Keep on pursuing love and keep desiring. Don't stop looking for more of the gifts to take out. And they may not be, some people call them resident. I don't want to fight over that. But you know what? If somebody is sick and I don't feel like I have a gift of healing, how about let's just learn to reach out and get it anyway and minister it to somebody. Amen? Amen. Therefore, my brothers, desire the ability to prophesy and do not prevent others from speaking in other tongues. I think in a different translation, it says something about desire to use the spiritual gifts or something like that. But he talks about, what do you desire? Okay? Desire. Too many of us have lost our desire to use the inheritance God's given us. Amen? Next slide. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not neglect the gift that you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Do not quench. Let the Spirit of God that's inside of you operate. He's given you an inheritance. He's given you something that you can operate, that you can use. Now, you may need to have somebody who's an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher come and teach you how. But brothers and sisters, I have seen this happen at times where people, in fact, we were over in France last year and was teaching on prophecy and how to prophesy and so on. And the problem is that you can stand and teach people about these things, but if they don't begin to move in them by themselves later. Hello. Then all you've done is fill their head with knowledge. Begin to move by the Spirit of God. Next slide. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained. And this is a scripture right here that is really very important. Look at this. Their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And in the New King, or in the King James Version, it says, who by reason of use, in other words, the more you use the gift that God's given you, the sharper, the clearer, the better it becomes. But if you just put it in the drawer of your desk drawer, you'll never use it. You'll never learn how to use it. Okay? Desire and use. You have an inheritance. You have more than just salvation. You have more than just a gift that God has given to you. You have an inheritance. You have something that God paid for. He bought it. He paid for it. He gave it to you. And he said, this is yours. And folks, to be honest with you, it's better than any $1 million inheritance that you might receive. It is something that will begin to not only bless you, but bless other people. Jesus didn't die on the cross just to save you from your sins. He died on the cross so you could receive an inheritance. Did you ever stop and think about why in the Old Testament there's only a few prophets here and there? There's not every Israelite is prophesying and every Israelite is moving in the gifts of the Spirit and every Israelite is bringing healing to the nations and so on. The inheritance hadn't been given yet. When Jesus died, the inheritance became available. Now you can receive the inheritance, you can confirm the inheritance, you can use the inheritance, or you can let it sit in the lawyer's office. Ouch. Amen. It's up to you and me. What are we going to do? I think there's one more. What to do? Study. Study the various gifts. What is the one that you were born with? And if you don't know, ask. Ask your friends. Ask somebody who knows you very well. Ask them. They can probably tell you what you were born with. What was that motivate? What is the thing that motivates you? Find out what it is. Okay? Find out what is the gift that God has given you and begin to pray, okay? Begin to meditate on your gift. Begin to learn, how does this thing function? How does it work? How does it operate? Do I just pray and just forget it? Or is there something else involved? Something like maybe getting before Him and really learning from Him and letting Him move in your heart and in your life. Meditate on your gift. Pray. Ask for guidance and opportunity. Amen. On our way up here, we stopped in Effingham on Friday night to spend the night on our way. And my wife can't drive the full 10, 11 hours from Springfield to here in one trip. And I'm finding the older I get, I can't do it as much, well as I used to either. But anyway, so we stopped in Effingham and walked into this motel and started talking to the young lady behind the desk, and she had just given some blood. It was had that little cotton ball and tape on her arm, and so I thought, well, maybe she just Red Cross, and gave blood. And so I asked her. She says, well, no. She says, I have a heart problem. And she said, when I was a year old, I had heart surgery. And ever since then, anytime there's any problem, any little complication whatsoever, they take blood to make sure my heart's okay. I said, oh, I'm going to pray for you. Now, she probably thought, I'm going to just leave and pray for her. I didn't have a chance right then, but it just kept in my spirit. And we'd taken some things up to our room, and I came back down, and I looked, and I walked up to her, and there was nobody at her desk now. And I walked up to her, and I went like this. I said, I'm going to pray for you right now. And I just began praying for her and praying, Lord, heal that heart. Heart, respond to the word of the Lord. Heart, be healed in the name of Jesus. And I just began to declare the word of the Lord to her. And when I was done, I said, amen. I looked and she just had a great big smile on her face. Her eyes were about that big around. She says, wow, that was sweet. Thank you. Now, I didn't look for the opportunity, and this is my reason for saying this. I didn't look for the opportunity, but I saw one. I saw one. How many times, brothers and sisters, do we see opportunities to be used of God and we walk away? Desire. Why should I desire spiritual gifts if I'm not going to use it? Get involved. Give the Holy Spirit freedom to use at you. Get involved. Amen. Is there one more slide or is that it? Oh, yes. I was wondering. Peace I leave with you. Let the peace of God guide you. Not though as the world gives, but as I give. The peace of God directs you as you allow the Holy Spirit to move in and through you in the gifts of God. When you have the peace of God, then God can use you and can minister through you and the gifts, the operation of the Holy Spirit. And let me put it this way. God will do what only God can do. And He'll do it through you. Not because you struggled, not because you forced anything, but because you have that relationship with Him, the grace of God just begins to move. Out of your innermost being, rivers begin to flow. Out of whose you are. Not who you are, whose you are. It begins to just flow. And things of God begin to take place. Amen? Now I'm going to have to quit. I'm doing much better, folks. Thank you for your prayers. But I've also learned, when I start getting like I'm feeling right now, it's time to quit. Amen. You stand. Father, I bless this people. They have been such a blessing to Nancy and me. They have been such a blessing, Father. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that something that we've said here today will inspire them, will stir their hearts and their lives. Father, that out of them will come those rivers of life. Out of them will come the grace of God, the love of Christ, that'll just begin to flow, first in worship unto You, second, Lord, into their families, and even into others. The Father, that we can make a difference. It doesn't matter what our age is. It doesn't matter what our gender is. It doesn't matter, Lord Jesus, how old or how young or how strong or whatever. None of these things matter. What matters is that we desire to be used of God to make a difference in the heart and life of others. And Lord, we bless You and we thank You for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. That was an excellent word. And you know, we do need to use the gifts that God's given us. And we're gonna have an offering in the back. And as you go out the door, just be a blessing to Brother Roy and to Sister Nancy. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask You to just take this word and cause it to just enter into our hearts. Let us realize, Father, that You're going to take the limitations off. You're going to bring that which is perfect is come. The impart's going to be done away with. But if we don't use the impart, we're not going to come to the perfect. And thank You for what You're going to do, Father. And I just ask You to bless Your people. Bless them as they go forth. Give them strength and just use them mightily, Father. And we'll be most careful to give You the praise and glory for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.